Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. The old spiritual says, I'm standing in the need of prayer. The Bible shows us how to pray for each other. And today, we'll begin a message that will teach us how to do this effectively. Stay tuned. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Today, we continue a five-part series on prayer that makes a difference. Now, turn to Ephesians chapter 1 and join us for part 2, praying for one another.
Because our emphasis is on prayer, I'm going to ask that we pray again, that these moments might be transformed by God into a time of confrontation with the living and the true Lord of the universe. And now, our Father, whom we love so much and to whom we give such unending praise, we thank you for your presence. We thank you that you are not only going to hear every word that is being said today, but you are going to also be listening in to every thought that is in every mind that is present. And therefore we pray, O God, that this shall be transformed into one holy, glorious moment when you share with us your burden for your church, that we might learn to pray one for another. In Jesus' name we ask, amen. Prayer is certainly the most important and most powerful medium in the world. To think that through prayer we can go behind a closed country, praying there for missionaries or believers or unbelievers, what an awesome responsibility rests with us to think that God has given us that privilege. Through prayer, we can go into an apartment building. We can go behind that closed door, and we can pray for somebody who's going through a difficult, excruciating marital experience, a relationship that is being torn apart. We can get there through prayer. Through prayer, we can speak to and influence estranged loved ones. Some of you have relatives and friends who perhaps are not on talking terms with you. And you've often wondered to yourself, what is it that I'm able to do? Their heart is so hard. There is so much bitterness. Through prayer, we can come into lives like that and we can release them so that they might be free to get rid of their bitterness and serve God. What an awesome privilege and responsibility. You look at the prayers of the Bible and you soon find that battles were won or lost on the basis of prayer. One day Joshua was fighting a group of people, a group of pagans called the Amalekites. Whenever Moses held his hand high, Joshua won and the battle went to his side. But when Moses stopped praying, it was the pagans who began to win. The power of prayer. When you look at the New Testament, you find that the great emphasis is on praying for other believers. Jesus said in John 17, I do not pray for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. That doesn't mean that he never prays for the world. It means that that was not his emphasis. And certainly in that 17th chapter of John, he was not praying for the world. He said, Lord, I am praying for those who belong to you because they are yours and I pray for them. You look at the prayers of the Apostle Paul and you find that Paul almost invariably is on his knees praying for other believers. Now, next week's message is going to be praying for the city, specifically the city of Chicago. So we should pray certainly for cities and we should pray for the unsaved. But in the New Testament, the emphasis is on praying for believers because God knows that if believers are all that they should be, the world will be mightily impacted with the good news of the gospel. And sometimes when we pray for the world, it is because we should be praying for ourselves, that we really ought to be spending our time in prayer because we are the means by which God touches the world. Now, how can we pray effectively? How can we pray in such a way that once we target a person for focused prayer, we see measurable change? We actually see the transforming power of God. Today, I hope through the Word of God to teach us all how to pray just that way. First of all, we have to pray according to the will of God. We must pray according to the will of God. Now, sometimes we pray about things that we are not sure are God's will, and that's okay because we should pray about everything. But if you want to be sure to get a response, if you want to be absolutely certain that what you are praying for is precisely the mind of God, then we need to look at the Scriptures to see what God's will is and how we should pray. And that's the kind of praying that I want to talk about today. I want to speak about prayer that is so biblical, that is so specific, that at the end of it, you do not have to tack on that little phrase that says, "If it be thy will." Because this is going to be praying in the will of God, the very center of His will. Secondly, we need to pray with the promises of God. Sometimes I listen to prayers, and I don't want to be critical of the way anybody prays because I realize they're not talking to me. But sometimes I listen to prayers, and they seem to be as if people are just getting God caught up on what is happening on earth. They begin to say, "Now, Lord, you know this, and so-and-so did this," and I'm saying to myself, "My word, doesn't the Almighty already know that? Does He really need to get a report on what has taken place in the world?" I believe that our focus should be on the promises of God, on the witness of God, on the power of God, and affirming the power of God for a specific situation. We don't need to brief God on what has happened in the world. Now, my friend, it is possible to pray for people in depth, even though you may not know their specific circumstances and their needs. Occasionally, I've taken that little committee booklet that we have here at the Moody Church, the Executive Committee, and I wish I could say I've done it more often, but from time to time, I pray for every single person that is listed there and his wife all the way through that Executive Committee booklet. Do you know that I am able to pray with freedom and with a sense of assurance, even though I may not know the specific situations that the people listed in that booklet are going through? Because I know that biblically there are some things that are so fundamental, that are so basic, that I can pray for every single Christian. And these, interestingly, are not only fundamental and basic, but they are the most important things that we could ever possibly pray for. If you ever want to know how to pray for me, just listen to this message, because this is the way I'd like to be prayed for. Take your Bibles now and turn to some prayers that are prayers in the will of God. Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1, where the Apostle Paul prays for the people at Ephesus. If you end up in the book of Philippians, you have to turn left to get to Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 1, notice what Paul says in verse 16. "I do not cease to give thanks for you while making mention of you in my prayers, that the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened so that you might know what is the hope of His calling and what are the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, and what is the surpassing greatness of His power toward us who believe. These are in accordance with the working of the strength of His might, which He brought about in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and seated Him at His right hand in heavenly places. Far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And He has put all things in subjection under His feet and gave Him as head over all things to the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him who fills all in all." Skip now to chapter 2, verse 5. Even when we were dead in our transgressions, God made us alive together with Christ, by grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him and seated us with him in heavenly places in Jesus Christ. Let's stop there. Today we have many people who have what is known as a bad self-image. And the reason for that bad self-image is that our opinion of ourselves is largely determined by what important people in our lives say about us. That's how our self-image is formed. So if you were brought up in a home where you were told that you were ugly or that you were useless or you were a failure or you were dumb or any other kinds of adjectives, you will tend to grow up believing that what others have said about you is true, and you will act in such a way as to fulfill what they have said, because fundamentally that's who you believe you are. Now, is it any wonder that the Apostle Paul, when he got down on his knees to pray for the people in Ephesus, prayed that they might be able to see their lives through God's eyes? Because that is the ultimate answer to those negative messages, those bad self-images that people have. And what he's saying is, if you were to see yourself through God's eyes, you would see, first of all, that Jesus Christ is raised above every principality, above every power, above every name that is named, both in this world and in the world to come. You would understand the triumph of Jesus Christ, and then also you would understand that God legally and judicially put us in him so that we are today seated with him in heavenly places in Jesus Christ, next to God's right hand. That's what the text says. Now, that means two things. First, it means authority. There are four words that the Apostle Paul uses here to speak of it. He says, for example, in verse 19, and this is the surpassing greatness of his power. There's one of the words. These are in accordance with the working, that's another word for power, of the strength of his might. Jesus is above everything. We often speak of that too, don't we? We say of him, he rose high in the organization, or he is high up. We mean authority.
My dear friend, isn't it wonderful to know that when we pray to Jesus, who is above all authority and all power. And even as we learn to pray for one another, it always comes down to the sovereignty of Christ. The belief that he is in control, and even as we come into his presence, it is always with the hope and the knowledge that he is listening, and therefore that his will is being accomplished. Running to Win exists to encourage you in your walk with God. It exists to lead others to simple faith in Jesus Christ, that they also might begin the journey of making it all the way to the finish line. And that is always our prayer.
Erwin Lutzer, introducing Praying for One Another, the second in a five-part series on prayer that makes a difference. Next time, more about being seated in heavenly places. Prayer that makes a difference can be yours on CD. All five messages will be sent as our thank you when you give a gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Just call 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com. Or write to Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Drive, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. For Dr. Erwin Lutzer, this is Dave McAllister. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.